What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Angler's Happy Hour podcast. In today's episode, we welcome back Nick's mustache. We talk peacock bass fishing, my recent trip to the Big O, and some recent scary moments on the water. We hope you guys enjoy.
A pelt is nice. That's generous. A pelt from like a baby otter, maybe.
Rob's talking about Nick's mustache. It's coming back.
Slowly but surely. There's signs of life. It's like the first little green saplings on a tree in late February. You're like, is that? Yep. Spring has sprung.
We're glad to see it, dude.
Yeah, he had to point it out, but it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, when you have good friends, they notice things that are important to you. But when you have mediocre friends, they make you point it out to them. My sister's coming to visit for their spring break. End of March, first part of April. And that was the last time they visited me was when the mustache had its debut. And it was a big flop. No one liked it. So during this long, painful move, I didn't get to shave because Lord knows where your shaving cream is, and let alone do you have any time to shave. So as I was finally in front of a mirror with a razor, I was like, oh, sister's coming back to town. This is my chance to like cut it in. So I'm going to let it grow nice and thick, which is impossible for me because I have no facial hair abilities. But whatever 1 month will be, I'm going to pick him up from the airport and just shave
good
it nice
you.
And clean. I already texted her. I was like, you're coming, right? She said, yeah. I was like, oh, I got a surprise for you.
Does she know it's the mustache?
Oh, no. No, that's the whole thing. I want to pick him up at like baggage claim.
How was the beard growing in?
Patchy.
Patchy.
Patchy, yeah. I'm like Patch Adams. And you just need a red nose.
That's great.
We can't all be, dude. I just look at yours. I almost want to just comb yours. It's so long and luscious.
It's a little rough. It's
amazing.
When I go get my beard trimmed, I ask them to make me not look homeless because it looks
just
I'm pretty homeless looking right now,
dude. It's so great. So two dreams of mine. One, I would have that. Although you have such a great stash, I would just cut that into a stash. Maybe Paul Tuttle Sr. and bring the flames down the chin through the neck. Like if you could cut that
through
clean.
Through the neck.
Dude, remember Paul Tuttle from that biking show 100 years ago?
He likes to fish, dude.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah. They're a fishing family.
They're out of New York, right? So I'm sure those guys can catch them smallmouth, right? Yeah. Are we talking about the same people?
Yeah, they had some. They you know, I remember watching their I used
American
to watch the
Chopper.
Show. Yeah, dude, exactly. And they used to
that's
bass fish on ponds.
Right
and
on.
I fished with a guide last week. We'll get to the peacock bass fishing I did. But he said that he had fished with the Tuttles before. They'd gone down there and fished with them.
Dude, I used to love, like, they would, on next week's episode, the Geico bike gets finished. And then they'd show, like, the old guy throwing a chair out the window, and then the younger, they're like silverback gorillas, like wrestling in the conference room. It must have been, I'm sure that was artificially, like they probably planted something in there, but those two guys, like, man, they're just going
they
at
hate
it all
each
the
other
time.
And there were like a couple seasons. You ever see the show, Rob?
I did. It just took me a while to figure out who. I don't
oh this
I didn't
going
recall
back
the names
20 years.
Oh yeah,
that's a long
yeah.
time
yeah the, it was the always two, always going off on each other.
Oh yeah. Then they didn't talk for a couple of years, and Paul Jr. started his own deal, and then Mikey is in the middle, the younger
Mikey,
brother, the,
yeah.
so
the
that
lovable,
tells you that stuff
unskilled
was...
brother.
Everyone's got to have one. That's me, lovable and unskilled.
So that tells you how real their fights were then. If they were...
Well, because then he started his own shop, got his own show. I think hopefully they've had, well, 10 or 12 years ago, I think they had a reunion. Now they've probably fought and blown up again. Who
you
knows?
Know the producers are like, this is going to
oh,
be gold.
Oh, gold.
It was.
100%.
It really was. Yeah.
But so the other thing I'd have, if I could grow facial hair like you and I'd have the flames going down my chin, down under my neck, I would grow the ripest mullet right now. Like, I think it's time to bring it back. I would like, you know, because fades are so popular, I would like get a really clean, nice fade on the sides and then like trim it respectably in the front. And then I would just let it flow down the back,
is
if
that,
only.
Is that with a flat bill and white glasses or what do you got?
White glasses would be tight, for but sure. Have you seen the new style is those like incredibly huge, like multicolored reflective ones with like chartreuse. Like that's the...
No.
I don't think that's a new style. That's like gargoyles,
well, we're just bringing
dude.
It back,
old
right?
Old school baseball sunglasses.
That's the inspiration for it.
Yeah.
I think
I
saw
you.
A dude on...
Gargoyles?
Isn't that what they're called?
I don't know. But that's cool.
Hashtag gargoyles. Yeah. So hit us up on our page because we want to see. So if anyone out there listening to this, all the millions of people, please show us your... If you've got a sweet mullet and like some sweet reflective, like bonus points if they're Oakleys with the flames. I had some Oakleys with the flames back in the day. They were orange.
Like what, a couple years ago?
Yeah, 2-3 weeks ago. No, I was like 9. And those were amazing.
Dude, so the baseball gargoyle, Oakleys, whatever, they never wore them. They just had them on their hats.
To where they belong.
Oh, right, yeah. You'd be trying to catch a fly ball with your hands like yeah, this. Be on your hat.
Like, I got exactly time to put them right down when there's a fly ball in the air, right?
So hilarious. Yeah, the flip downs were the only. But people didn't wear flip downs. Like a couple old school players had the flip downs. But
you maybe don't
like
see those anymore,
younger guys
you
would totally flip them to Mark McGwire sunglasses. Yeah, that put them up on their hat.
I'm thinking of Ken Griffey Jr. rookie season era, right? The flip downs.
Dude, if I was a current baseball player, I'd be wearing flip downs just to bring it back.
And that's kind of my inspiration for the mullet, right? Yeah. Like, it's kind of fun. Like, once you reach a certain threshold in life and you've realized you've lost all credibility with, like, the youth, that's when you want to just go back to your youth era with, like, two fingers up and be like, hey, man, like, I was here before you.
How about
that's cool.
How about the jumpsuits? I can't believe nobody's brought that back in fishing tournaments. Have you seen it?
No.
Like, that would be huge. Josh, I think you need to do it.
That's what Tim
thought.
Tim
Horton wore it once, like 10 years ago, as like a deal. But yeah, it's been
speaking,
the last time.
Speaking of beards and facial hair, Josh got like props, dude, on live for his beard. Do you know that?
No, that's hilarious.
Yep.
And deservedly so, though.
It was about the color.
Respectable.
I think JT Kenny was like, yeah, I think the color is awesome. And yep.
See, and that's another thing. Like, when you got a unique feature, dude, like the red hair, you got to own that. Like, that's so tight.
I mean, hey, I can't run from it, dude. It is what it is,
it's
right?
Cool.
It's not artificial, that's for sure.
It's tight, dude. Like, as I'm balding, I'm like, what do I have left to pull out of my bag of tricks to be unique? I'm just kind of like going flat here. So I admire the red,
too. You're trying hard. Like Rob said, with the pelt, dude.
Yeah,
you're doing well.
It's a cute little thing. So, yeah. And my wife, she just says my upper lip looks dirty. She's like, it looks like you were like working on a car or something and you got like grease on your face. And I love it too, because like I like going through my daily life to see everyone like does a little weird like double take, like my face looks dirty. But only one person has had the courage to be like, are you growing a mustache?
Oh,
it's amazing. Ass. I love it. Like, it's hilarious. It's like, that's just reinforcing the futility in this, but we're going to ride it out. We're going for
it. Right on. Well, keep up the hard work on that. How's the move been?
Dude, it's a first world problem. So I'm not going to try and complain, but I will preface it with the fact that only in the first world can you complain about having so many belongings that it's exhausting to move them, but it is exhausting to move them. But we have a really sweet house that we moved into, so I'm grateful for that. And the best part has been when we finally have transferred over into this new house. It's a new build, so we have no window coverings, and then they're building all around us. So in the master bathroom, got 3 big picture windows with no window coverings on it. And then the shower is mostly just like a glass enclosure, so like zero privacy. So like the highlight of every day is going in there in the morning to shower. And the house next door has been getting a roof on it. So there's like 6 or 8 dudes like putting roof tiles on the roof. Oh, I'm on display.
Whoa.
Dude. They'd need like a Hubble telescope to see anything R-rated on me because, you know. But it's so amazing to just like walk into your shower and just like clean up for the day. And you just have like an audience out there.
How
I'm tempted
weird,
to be
man.
Like waving to them. Like, hey, that tile looks crooked. Straighten that out. My wife will have no part of it. She's not showering in it, but I'm all about it. I'm going in there and just, hey, if I'm making the payment, you can stare at my man bits while I'm showering.
Like, oh my gosh, dude.
So how long till you get window coverings?
So surprisingly, yeah, we got them ordered. And, you know, that's always one of those like 4 to 6 week things. In a normal world, now that China is, you know, on the fritz with the coronavirus and all of that, they were making a horror story. Somehow it's actually going to be here on Tuesday. So the peep show ends on Tuesday, sadly, for those guys.
Nice.
But yeah, we went down. We had a little bronchitis, a little RSV. We all went down in flames for a few weeks. But like a phoenix, we rise from the ashes.
Glad you're back. Right in time. Mustache, got rid of that. And right in time for me to get home and do a podcast.
Yeah,
so thanks for that.
Priorities. Dude. No, thank you.
Yeah, you lined it up all perfectly. I'm sure it was quite the nightmare moving when everyone in the family had RSV.
Dude, and I'm like 111 pounds soaking wet, and like I just have too much pride to ask for help. I can't ask for help, and so I'm like,
I think we offered.
Oh yeah, multiple times. Mm-hmm.
Of course you did. Well, you were over there almost winning 2 tournaments, but Rob was around, yep. And my wife's like, "Where's Rob?" I'm like, I don't know. I'm not
Where's
asking
Rob?
Him.
I can do it myself, woman. I got a hand truck. I got a trailer and a Suburban. Stand back.
You didn't hire movers at all?
For the big stuff we did.
I gotcha.
And the first time I did that, great investment. Then I lost the number of that company, so I just yelped somebody else. And yeah, they meant well, but it just didn't go well.
Hmm.
But it's all good, man. First world problems, and we have a really nice house now. And
all settled in, getting there at least.
We're getting there. Yeah. We no longer live under a bridge with a shopping cart. We've actually moved into a house, so we're happy.
Well, maybe
about
you can
that.
Go fishing one of these days.
One of these years.
Oh yeah,
dying to nice. Go fishing. Yeah. I need to, man. So
have you
no
been,
guide
Rob?
Service.
Yeah, I've been fishing a little bit. So
catching anything?
Well, yes, we were, and then all of a sudden we got a rainstorm last Saturday, and
a little freak front, dude. We got a lot of moisture out of that
a
thing.
A ton. Roosevelt came up like, I don't know, 3 feet, maybe 4 feet.
And here's why it comes up so much, just for the listeners, is we've got a bunch of snow packed up above the lake. So when it rains, it speeds that up and comes down tenfold.
Yeah, there was dry washes that are obviously normally dry that were running. I don't know if I've ever seen them run.
Really?
And yeah, the lake just obviously got cold and muddy and, you know, turned the fishing off a little bit. But it's that time of year where you can kind of get over that in a hurry because it's starting to get warm.
It's like 80 degrees again.
Yeah, today's March
days.
1st, so like this is the mark
ding.
For us.
Yeah,
ding,
yeah, springtime.
Yep.
The bell goes off.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, driving here this morning, we're podcasting early, and driving in the dark here this morning, I think I saw 4 bass boats. So
no kidding, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little ramp rush hour on a Sunday
so
morning.
You know it's going. It's, I mean, not going.
Fixing to go.
Potentially is going to go, yep.
That's cool.
Yep. So,
I'd like to hear it.
Yep.
I always think in these desert lakes, it's so cool when those normally dry washes run, and they run with so much fury. Remember last summer when all that rain came down at our local lake here at Canyon? Seeing those videos of like
waterfalls and just gushing
freaky waterfalls, dude. Yeah. It looked like an advertisement for Costa Rica or something. Yeah. There was so much water coming off the cliffs. I'm like, wow, you can see how people get caught in those canyons, right? Well, they say, don't hike during flash floods. Oh, it's never going to happen. And then 2 seconds later,
do you know that happened above Roosevelt? Last, I think it was Sunday or Monday. There was a guy that got caught in one of those canyons and killed him. Yeah,
and so lost him.
Up in the mountains or
in the mountains,
crossing Tonto Creek again.
No, up in the mountains. Jeez. Above Roosevelt, like
Young.
In the not in Young, but in the mountains you see directly to the northeast there of the lake.
That is where Young is, though, right?
That is where Young is. It's quite a ways in there. Yep. And he was in, I think it was in the Sierra Anchas, which is a wilderness area hiking. They called it something other than hiking. It was. What would you call it when you're going through canyons or whatever?
Oh, is it like canyoneering or
something like that? Yeah, it was an advanced. the guy was obviously experienced at what he was doing. And
it's crazy when those things happen. You know that tragedy that happened, like you were asking at Tonneau Creek. Then when they finally found those people, they were like way, way, way into the lake down the drainage, man. I mean, water's a force to be reckoned with.
And not to keep bringing this down, but did you guys hear about what happened over at Pickwick?
Yes. Tragic. That's terrible.
I did not.
I hate to even bring it up, but they're basically doing a recovery mission now. That there was a high school bass tournament going on.
I did see a little snippet, but
and a guy and two boys went out. They were having some motor problems, and by the looks of it, they went and fished down by the dam, and all of a sudden they're missing, and they find their boat below through the dam on the lake down below it.
So what do you think happened? His trolling motor battery went dead, and they just couldn't stay above it? I've never fished.
Yeah, without being able to physically see that dam, I mean, I know that there's a lot of water moving through the Tennessee River right now just for the typical spring runoff and rain. But, boy, that's crazy, dude. Like, you would think in your bass boat that you still just wouldn't get – there'd be some type of barrier to keep you from getting pulled through like that, but that's some freaky stuff, man.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, well, obviously, condolences out to the family. And
100%.
Just, man.
That's like the saddest thing ever, man. Just two high school kids going out for a day of fishing. They're all excited.
They didn't even realize they were missing until like 9 p.m.
Really?
Yeah, because they're – supposedly their motor wasn't starting in the morning. So everyone just felt like figured they had left,
and then because
they didn't come to weigh in, and then someone obviously went through the parking lot at the boat ramp at 9 p.m. and realized their truck was still there. From what I read, that's just it's terrible.
Well, condolences out to the family and everyone involved, man. There's just an element to that in everything you do, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so
yeah, yeah. Okay, so moving forward, we want to give a quick listener shout out to Adam Brister, and we're doing this out. The shout outs are still new to us, so.
Excuse the awkwardness.
Excuse this awkward 30-minute pause here. I was supposed to show this to these guys before
it's early. This started. None of us have slept recently.
Yeah, so let's see here. I'm going through. We got a few of these photos sent to us by listeners, and I want to show these guys Adam's photo. We're going to go. I'm going to post it up to the Anglers Happy Hour.
Real time, even though no one's listened to this yet.
Yeah, by the time you guys hear this, this photo will be up. And, wow, how about that? It's still not popping up.
It's because we have no internet here in the cave. Well, you are on Wi-Fi, so you might have a chance, but there is no cellular data in the cave.
I got no one to blame except me on this one.
Chris Stapleton, which he's coming. Dude, Rob, are you a Chris Stapleton fan? I can't remember. I feel like we've talked about music a little bit.
I'm so unmusic. Oriented, it's unbelievable.
I think you'd dig him. He's kind of like that.
Yeah, I would enjoy
outlaw country genre. He's coming to the valley sometime. I think June, something like that.
Are you gonna go?
My cheap butt was definitely gonna go, and then I saw the cheapest ticket was like $175.
How is that possible?
Well, so I think it's in this new era of streaming music. So they don't make any money anymore. Like on record sales per se, it's like 33 cents a download. So I think like merchandise and ticket sales become a big part of their revenue generation.
I wouldn't even know what a concert ticket cost normally back in the day, but like
half that maybe for like a regular admission.
$50-$60?
I think so.
Really?
Something like that.
Huh.
You guys get your picture?
Let me just see here.
All right. Sorry guys. Thank you for killing that minute of time there. So we're gonna post this thing up. What a reaction by Nick. So this is our buddy Adam Brister. He's a listener of the show, and
that's awesome.
You can find him at the Adam Brister on Instagram. He's got a photo of himself when he was much younger, probably what, 10 years old?
Yeah, in that ballpark for sure.
That's excellent.
He's wearing he's standing in front of an old Cajun bass boat.
Cajun,
discontinued brand bass boat. Cajun, they were the deal back in the day, and
was
he's got
Raging Cajun or just Cajun?
Maybe both.
It'd be sweet if it was Raging.
He's got the Bill Dance outfit. It looks like maybe this is a Halloween deal. Hopefully,
what it also looks like.
It says Bill Dance number 2 on it.
So
like
maybe
he's the second Bill Dance.
He's just the prodigy, right?
That's awesome.
Was his fishing outfit, but yeah, it's beautiful. Yellow Bill Dance number 2 jacket.
Dude, what that screams to me is that somebody loved him and probably still does, because that is very much like a custom, like stitched embroidered jacket, right? Like somebody took the time to make that for him, and like that's
those shades could potentially be flip ups. I'm not sure.
Let's get a little pinching.
He is looking sharp, and you can tell he was big time into fishing. Like you said, for someone to take the time to do that for him and get that jacket, and for him to
like his grandma, his mom, his aunt, who knows, grandpa, somebody was capable and put that together.
So did you draw Adam at a tournament?
Yep. Lake Mead.
Yep.
Last summer.
Yeah, I follow,
great guy to fish with.
I follow him on Instagram and see all his. He's a hardcore fisherman. Huh?
He is. Yeah. Yep. He's a good follow on Instagram too. He's a pretty funny guy.
Outdoorsman, hunter, everything, right?
Big time. Yep.
Cool. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah. Shout out to you, man.
Cool,
thanks.
Man.
That's funny. And we have a couple more in the inbox on our accounts. We'll definitely continue this as you guys send us pictures.
Yeah.
So
keep them coming.
To those other guys that didn't get it this week, we'll get to you for sure.
It's coming. But yeah, thanks for that.
Bill Dance was such a big, not to dwell on that, but Bill Dance was such a big influence in my youth growing up, man. I would get so excited watching his show.
Just like jacking 5-pounder
after
5-pounder.
Dude, all 5-pounders.
Sitting down.
All 5-pounders.
Drinking a pop.
Yep. With a rod. With a rod that was like 3 times softer than it should have been when
so
he
the
set
hook
the hook.
Sets were just epic.
Bending at the reel.
But where I have love for Bill Dance is he never took himself too serious, dude. Like every episode was the same highlight reel of him like falling in the lake, falling over his trailer hitch. Like,
brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, like, he just wasn't an arrogant jerk, you know? He might be in real life. I don't know.
No, he's not. He's not. I can guarantee you he's not.
But he did a great job on that show of making that. And that commercial that I see they run on Major League Fishing, that one's funny as heck, too, when the rival games.
The Garmin?
Yeah.
Oh, they got some good commercials with Bill Dance.
He jumps in the water.
He jumps in. He's like the OG.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a fishing license.
So how about like fishing shows back in the day? You'd watch, I mean, I watched Bill Dance, Hank Parker, all those
in Fisherman.
And it gets to a point, like I got to a point where I just I got so tired of watching that, I could only watch tournaments. You guys agree?
Well, just because it's fake, right?
The tournaments are real.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
And maybe the more you get into fishing, the more you realize those are staged a little bit. Or
yeah.
I mean.
Well, and you know, I think to add on that thought too, man, if I would have had YouTube back then, we were still chained to Saturday mornings, right? Saturday,
yeah,
Sunday mornings.
It was a big deal. And it was crushing to miss it. Or
like,
because
it was like a 2-hour window, yeah, right?
Yep.
Dude, now on YouTube, like, you could lose weeks of your life, endless supplies of legit fishing content.
At any time you want.
At any time you want, man. Yep. This is the golden era we're living in.
It's crazy. It kind of comes back too. Like, we're seeing fish are smarter in all the lakes. There's more pressure. There's less
about
secrets.
A parabolic rise.
It's all just. It's seriously like, when we tried to learn back then, we would literally. Nick posted up some DVDs. I mean, I literally
VHSs.
Not even DVDs. Yeah,
yeah.
I was doing the same thing. You'd go to Bass Pro Shops, spend $10 on the Kevin Van Dam VHS.
Yep.
You know, and that's
watch
what
it
you
a
had, dude.
Times.
And you
yeah.
literally based my whole fishing approach as a kid off of that one VHS DVD or VHS movie. So pretty crazy.
Yeah, to now where it's like the phone in your pocket at any given moment could just like. Yeah, YouTube is just such a game changer, man. Fishing information to, like, how to clean your dad's CPAP machine for him, right? Like, it's all there in 2 seconds, you know? I just did that for him. So. Anyone need their CPAP machine cleaned, I'm your guy.
Right on, okay.
So, Josh, man, how was the, you got a nice little, you know, suntan line there from Florida. You have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time in Florida. I fished the second Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour event on Okeechobee. Okeechobee was good. You know, I talked on this show before I left. I was a little bit nervous because the rumor was they'd killed a lot of the grass and the state had killed a lot of the grass and the lake was going to be a lot different. And it was different, but the fish were still in there. And it was fishing good. I had a phenomenal practice. I mean, I texted you guys after practice that, you know, it was one of those practices that was so good. You're like literally know the tournament's not going to go good because you feel like you just wasted it all in practice. And like, there's no way that I love having a mediocre practice because
explain good though. Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell,
okay. I'll definitely go into it.
Slaying 7 pounds.
I like having a mediocre practice because I get enough bites to kind of maybe get an idea of what's going on. I learned some stuff, but it's not so good that I subconsciously get married to what I was doing.
Makes total sense.
And so my first day of practice goes pretty well. I'm, you know, get X amount of bites, just a few here, a few there, catch a few random big ones. I'd caught like one, probably 7 or 8 pounds randomly. And then a couple more good ones, like probably 4 pounders randomly. And then at the end of the day, I get into this one area and I throw a swim jig out there and I catch like a 5 pounder. And then I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I fished like 2 more minutes, catch another 5 pounder. I'm like, whoa, there's 2 in 1 area. And you know, this by that time, you know, like, you know, you're in an area that something
spot.
Special is going on. And I catch one more and like, I'm not fishing for 2 or 3 more days. So normally I wouldn't stick 3 fives in an area like that, but I'm just kind of like, and I also don't quite get Florida as well as I get fishing back, you know, on a regular reservoir. Like I would have, things click a little faster for me on a regular reservoir and I can get a couple bites and know what's going on, but it takes me a little more on Florida just because I've only been there 12 times and or 10 times. And
it's unique. It's its own unique thing, right?
It is. It is. It's very different. So I'm like, well, geez, this area is absolutely loaded with big ones. So I'm like, I wonder how big this swath of an area is. So I literally crank my trolling motor up to like 8 or 10 to where I'm going like over 3 miles an hour.
Almost up on tab.
To prevent myself from casting at every target. And I'm literally only making a cast like, I don't know, dude, every 100 feet or something like that. And it's just every
load
cast
up,
is a 3 to 6 pounder. Every cast for like, and it goes on like that for probably 500 yards. I'm like, this area.
Wow. Dude, that's insane. Especially how fast your trolling motor is. That Garmin pulls butt.
It does. It really does, dude. So, and you've seen it. So what had happened was these fish had obviously a huge amount of fish had spawned back way, way inside. And they were just, they had, this is on the outside of a reed edge. and they had made their way out, dude, and they were, I mean, they were feeding on something.
It's a big old wave. Uh-huh.
And, but of course, you know.
Pregnancy test? Is that how you knew they're post-spawn?
Two lines. No, one line.
Yeah.
Not pregnant.
Exactly. Not
I know how to read those. Trust me.
Thank you, Fat Cat. But yeah, anyways. But we had heavy, heavy winds coming in, like the, and you know, you practice for the wind, of course, like you look at the forecast on a lake like that, you see, it's going to blow 25 out of the north the first day, then 20 out of the east the second day, and then 20 out of the east the third day. And this was completely exposed. There was one reed line kind of protecting it. So I had a little ray of hope, but I really was like, this sucks, because I found these fish, and by the time the tournament starts, they're going to be gone. And they were.
And they were.
And so, like, talking about that, like, you find fish like that, it's so hard to let them go that I started the tournament there.
You have to. How do you not?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Even if you know it's a 1 in 100 chance, you have to. So I start there, don't catch them. I get bailed out on the first day with a 6'3".
Awesome.
It was brutal fishing. And that one fish, I had actually seen that fish swimming around in a little pocket. Not on a bed, like it was either post-spawn or looking for a partner or maybe around some bluegill, but I saw it swimming around.
It was on Fish E-Harmony.
You saw it in practice.
Yes, in practice. Yes.
Fish E-Harmony.
He was swiping left.
There's plenty of fish, dude.
Fish Tinder.
Yeah. Fish Tinder. No, it doesn't make any sense. Anyways.
So I see this thing, and I just marked the waypoint. You know, I was like, okay, well, you know, sometimes you can go back and catch those fish.
With like
if you make
a long cast,
or whatever, well, that front hits, the water temp drops. The water was 81 in practice, and the first day of the tournament, which I was in Group B, so second day of fishing overall, the water temp is 59.
59?
It dropped 22 degrees.
That's insane.
No joke.
So the wind is just turning the water over, and that's how it's just getting so cold so fast?
Maybe, and just the cold. I mean, the middle of the lake's 9 feet deep.
Oh.
You know, when you're where you're fishing, it's 1 foot deep, so it just takes nothing for the water temp to drop like that. And it was up to 70 by the time the tournament was over. So it was crawling back up. But anyways, absolutely zero activity the first day. Like the only chance for me to get bit was to straight up punch. So, you know, these fish are sitting buried in the thickest reeds under hyacinth, stuff like that. And where I'd seen that fish, you know, I start on that spot where they were loaded up, catch nothing. And then this is nearby. I'm like, oh, let's just go back over here and fish
make
this little
cast.
Area. So I went in and just punched like where I'd seen that fish in the pocket. There was one big thick reed head with some hyacinths blown in. And of course the king just takes the biggest
That's
fish
right.
there, just takes the most ideal spot. And you could have called it. I'm literally telling the boat official, this is, you know, this is the pocket he was in. And then I look at that and it's like, oh, I got to punch that thing before I go. Sure enough. First
there
flip
she
in
is
there,
hanging out.
Catch it. So that was super cool.
That's
that fish
awesome.
Made that day. And, overall, long story short, ended up having a good finish through the qualifying rounds. I was third in my group, and then so made the first cut. After that cut, I had quite a few bites. The area I was fishing ended up just having a bunch of males. I lacked the big female bites. Caught a lot of 2 to 3 pounders, but ended up overall 25th in the tournament out of the 80 guys. So
good
decent
finish.
Tournament.
Yep.
I'll take it again. Not understanding Florida super well.
I've got a question for you on. And again, I think I just saw it on live, and I've heard about it over the years. When the wind blows out of one direction, it sucks the water out of that entire part of the lake and makes it deeper on the other side. Is that true?
Yes, and it's,
I mean,
it's
like,
mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. Hold a bowl of water. It doesn't – it moves, right?
Yeah.
When you like,
but so, yeah, I guess
– But the entire lake, it just pushes water
so
across.
And it'll fluctuate a foot, dude. So imagine if you're fishing an area that's normally 18 inches deep, it could be 6 inches deep, or it could be –
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and so,
foot and a half.
And they were talking about like the sloshback makes an effect too. When it does die, say it dies abrupt, that water sloshes back and dirties that water back up. It's just
it's interesting. JT Kenny, who was the commentator, knows that lake so well. I would have loved to have listened to his thoughts through the week on the lake.
That came from him, the sloshback. I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's really interesting.
Is that exaggerated because the lake overall is pretty shallow? Do you think that same effect happens when
it's
100 feet deep?
That's a question I had for Josh. If he had, I mean, yeah, what, is it because of the shallow lake? Do you have that on a big lake?
You probably do, but you probably don't even notice because you're fishing deeper anyways. Like when you're fishing in a foot of water, you
notice
a foot a lot more than if you're fishing in 16. Mm-hmm. What's the difference when it's 16.8, you know? So, but that's a great question. I've seen it like at Lake Mead where it's glass calm and I'm in the middle of the lake and I cannot stay on a structure spot. I'm like, dude, what is going on? I can't stay on my spot. And it's so open and wide that you don't physically see the current, but there's massive current because, it clicks. Okay, yeah. Earlier this morning, the wind was ripping out of the west, and it pushed all that water. Now that water's coming
just
back.
Just going back, yep.
Has to be, right?
That's mind-boggling to me.
It really is. Wow.
So I've also heard, like, say on Havasu, when they're dumping water out of the bottom of the lake will be lower than the top of the lake.
That's crazy. Interesting.
Or vice versa, if they're running a lot in and... So
I mean, it makes sense that just like you said, it's a glass of water, man. Whichever way you're pouring it or whatever, I mean,
but a glass of water adjusts immediately.
Oh, I got you.
You understand what I'm
saying?
I got
you.
Like,
and then you have a massive body of water like that. It seems imperceptible because it's so big, but the same force still applies.
Look at tidal water, dude. Look at when the tide runs. You know, the closer you are to the ocean, the fluctuates a lot more. And like I've seen rivers too, where like, the farther you're on a river system and they're releasing a ton of water out of the top or there's been a flood or whatever, the water upriver where it's really narrow is always a couple of feet higher than the lower lake.
Right. Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, uh-huh. does that make sense?
Well, that would be what Havasu would be like,
yeah,
right?
Gotcha.
Essentially
yep.
like a river.
That so. Makes sense.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just mind-boggling.
So backtrack just a little bit. I had a question pop in my head. So when you're talking about that sweet little spot you had found, but then anticipating that the wind was going to wreck it, the wind just like physically blows the fish off of a spot like that because it's so exposed or what, or can you not fish
it
properly?
It trashes the water, dude. Okay. So like water quality is a really big deal there. You need clear water and it'll just, the middle of that lake is like nasty brown water. Just the most tannic, nasty slosh around because it is always blowing. It is always rough and there's nothing to clean it out there. The middle of the lake has no grass.
It's just
the
like
grass
the face
is a filter.
Moon.
That's why the water's clear on the banks is, you know, that eel grass and all the different hay grass and reeds are literally filtering out that dirt as a...
How deep is it in the middle?
You say like
I think
eight
it's
feet?
A bit, yeah, 10-ish. Yeah. Like, you know, give or take, man. I'm sure there's some a little bit deeper.
Nobody
and some
ever
shallower.
Catches them out there?
Mm-mm, never.
They don't even exist, huh?
I don't know, but no one ever does. I mean, there's not much out there. There are a couple, like, slow rises with some reeds. Like, it'll freak you out because you're running across the middle of the lake and you don't see shore anywhere, and then all of a sudden you start seeing reeds. It's like, oh, dude...
Wow. Yeah. I've never been an overly confident boat captain to begin with, but Okeechobee would give me some nerves just for that reason.
It's one of the most
big,
gnarly bodies of water to operate a boat. It really
just
is.
Cruising, and then you see that, like that would be, yeah.
When you go to a Great Lake, you prepare for big, rough water. You go to Lake Mead, you prepare for the rough water. You got your trolling motor, you know, all the way down. You have reinforcements to make sure when you're running it. But Florida, you're kind of preparing your boat to fish the skinny water, but to get to that skinny water you've also potentially have to run through 20 miles of open water and big waves, you know. And there's a rim ditch running, a rim canal running around a lot of the lake that you can actually run your boat in, but you've got to really know your way around. And over the years the lake's changed, like everything's connected. Like you could be going out of one end of the lake, and if you really knew how to run, you could probably get to a spot across the lake without hitting open water too much.
Because you could take the
canals. You take the back routes. But for a guy like me not knowing where I'm going,
you might end up
in
Cuba.
It's very I just get stuck somewhere.
Wait a second.
I just get stuck. You know what I mean? It all changes. It all gets filtered out. Like Roy Hawk. Roy just has absolute like stones, dude. He is not afraid to just run or try something, you know. And I'm much more on the cautious side. I'm like, dude, if I lose a day of practice, it's game. Yeah, I gotta put food on the table for these kids, man. He's like, let's go, let's give it a shot. But he told me after practice he was running, just running some stuff. He had no idea what it was, where it was going. He's just running it because you can't idle because, you know, these back sloughs and stuff like that.
Because they're so shallow.
They're
so
shallow. If you idle, you get stuck or it'll take you days to get to where you're going. So he's running and he got into it. It just kept getting narrower and narrower and narrower. And all of a sudden he's in an airboat trail. And there's like literally like next to no water. It's narrower than his boat. Like he's running in reeds, dude.
Wow.
And it's like it's going for a couple miles. He's trimmed up and his motor's just blowing straight mud.
Chocolate milk.
And he's like, oh my God, oh my God. And then an airboat literally comes up, pops out of the side of the trail and cuts him off. And he almost hits the airboat. Oh. And the airboat takes off and he's following it and he's just praying it opens up. It finally opens
it
up.
Yeah.
And he
got
out of there.
You can't turn around. Obviously,
yeah. And if you're stuck, all you can do is pray that you have cell phone service.
Pray that you hear the banjos.
And an airboat will take you out of there. And the airboats are $300 an hour. A couple guys had to get pulled out. But wow. Yeah.
What else lives in Okeechobee? Is there a gar? Pickerel?
Definitely,
stuff like that?
Definitely gar. Lots of tilapia, man. There's massive. If anyone
fish
watched
those,
live.
Probably?
I don't do. They're huge. Oh, they're big. I mean, I'm sure there's babies, but the tilapia are spawning, and they are huge. I caught a couple. Yeah, caught a couple on a swim jig.
Yeah, occasionally they get carnivorous, right? Like, you can
apparently
catch a tilapia
so.
In my vast experience urban fishing. I've caught
that's right up your alley.
Yeah. This is probably not politically correct, but that was what I think the Nile, like, that was what Jesus was fishing for thousands of years ago. That was, like, you know, he was a fisherman. Tilapia originate from Africa.
That,
dude, they originate from Africa. That's
Rob's done. Keeled over.
He's not even in front of the microphone anymore. Those are holy fish, man.
Well, that's
okay,
cool.
So you
that's
run,
cool.
Yeah.
Was right.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, like, in the middle of that lake where there's just, you know, nothing out there, is there, like, a big scary gar that's going to, like,
there's
nibble
huge gators.
On you?
I mean, gators, there's tons of gators, obviously. I mean, nothing that gnarly, man. Some snakes and stuff, but.
Did you see some of the drone video on live? Obviously, you weren't watching live.
I watched it the day after it was over,
but,
or I was out.
Right.
The final day I watched.
There were some great shots of fish on beds. Obviously, you couldn't see the fish, but the beds. And
that's,
I mean,
cool.
It was a pretty cool view.
Have we talked about drones on this podcast and, like,
just what an advantage they would give you?
This is outlawed, but imagine
it
being legal, being able to just, like, okay, you're looking for those areas just with the beds. You don't, you could see, you fly it up and say, oh, there's 100 beds there. I think that's a good spot.
I should start there.
Yeah, just fun fishing. I don't know why you couldn't do that.
Yeah,
but
the beds are
you, you totally could.
I know in hunting you can't use them, which is a good thing, but. And obviously in fishing, it would be a huge advantage.
No kidding.
The
man.
Beds are just that easily noticeable because they've cleaned the bottom.
Yeah, they look orange there. Okay. So everywhere you fish, the beds have a different color. Like here in Arizona, a lot of the beds are, like, really hard to distinguish because we already have a really hard bottom. So it's just maybe a little bit lighter. But you go to Havasu, the beds are black for whatever the bottom composition is there. But yeah, in Florida, the beds are almost always orange. And a lot of times they're just clearings in the eelgrass. Like, it's really common on these Florida lakes to spawn on an eelgrass flat, and then they clean it up. So you just, if there's a hole in the eelgrass, there's probably a bed there and probably a fish on the bed. But, like, half were tilapia and half were bass. So the bass beds looked a little more regular. Like, the tilapia literally looked like you took a round shovel and just shoveled out a moon crater. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they do that at Saguaro. Yeah, have you seen them at Saguaro? There's
tilapia.
Giant tilapia.
Occasionally,
there.
I've seen one or two big tilapia there. Yeah.
Yep.
Good eats right there. That's fish tacos.
Yeah, but that's what you got in there for goonfish. And then one other thing I did when I was down there on an off day was I went peacock bass fishing. Have you guys ever done that?
I haven't, no.
I haven't. I'd love to.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I think there's nothing like going down and doing it in the Amazon or something like that and catching 15 pounders, but.
Were you fishing in a canal?
I did this in the Everglades
nice.
With a buddy and a guide. And the guide specializes in that. His name is Brett Isaacson. He's a super cool guy, and he's been doing that for like 20 years. He knows a lot about the peacocks. And, yeah, they're essentially, a lot of times you're just fishing the canals, but they're a lot like bass. They were on beds, and we sight fished a few of them, caught some on jerk baits. You can catch them on top water,
of
course.
Did you catch any on top water?
We didn't even really throw it, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were munching a jerk bait. But it's super fun fishing. Like, when they're on a bed, you know how a bass on a bed will just, like, be a little harder to trick. But when they suck it, I mean, they really suck it in. They open their mouth and suck the bait in. These peacock bass are like slashers. Like, you pitch the bait on the bed, and they slash it instantly. But they don't ever, like, really suck it in. So, like, the guide was telling me, I'm like, well, what kind of stuff should I bring? He's like, lipless crankbaits are really good on the beds. I'm like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
But afterwards, I was like, okay. Like, after
you just
doing
want
it
those
for
treble hooks swinging
two
around?
Seconds, it made sense. Like, they're going to slash, and you got to get them in the lip when they slash. You know, so an open hook jig head was really good. But a Texas rig, almost impossible to catch one.
No kidding.
Yep, really interesting. You can't. you can't possibly set the hook fast enough.
Uh-huh.
So they suck it in and spit it out, or just
they don't even suck it in, dude. They just like slash.
Move it with their uh-huh.
Interesting.
They literally just slash, and they, you know, when they're eating something to feed, like they do annihilate it. But
and how big a fish were they?
Yeah,
up to 3 pounds.
Nice.
Cool. They've caught some 5 pounders over there, but a 2.5 pounder, dude, is a fish, man.
Like, pound for pound, it's pulling, right?
It's fun, and you know, you can just feel their strength, of course, on the fight, peel and drag and stuff. But even just holding them, like holding it up for a picture. You know, 2.5 pound bass is not going to shake out of your hand. Dude, I could not keep them in my fingers. Like,
wow.
Lipping them like that, they'd shake. And they've got such a powerful shake. Like, they're flopping around the bottom of the boat. Dude, it was pretty fun.
You look at where they came from, man. You better be tough. The Amazon River is not a friendly ecosystem. You better be a tough sumbitch to survive in the Amazon River.
No kidding, man.
Right? We've talked about this catfish and stuff. I mean, That's a gnarly freshwater ecosystem.
So were you in the Everglades, right?
Yep.
And were you like in an urban setting out like
yeah,
out
we
in
were
the
out
middle,
there, dude.
Out
we were
the
out
middle of
the,
nowhere.
They have them in like straight up downtown Miami.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And I think that's where they originated. They brought them there in the 80s to control other fish populations, I think. But man, they turned into such a fun fish to catch that it's kind of become
it's
a little
like
bit
the
of a
Florida
business
striper.
Down there. Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Is that how stripers were introduced?
I just air quotes on an invasive species,
yeah,
right? But
you.
Something you put somewhere and then all of a sudden it's like everywhere else and it's a big nasty predator that gets it done.
I hear you. Yeah. And it's interesting that they haven't shown up in the lakes like Okeechobee and stuff like that, but they really haven't. They're just literally,
maybe
there are
they don't
a handful
like,
of places that they can. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is. Yep.
They don't
that's
like the
good call.
Water, right?
They can't. They need warm water. They literally start to die if the water gets below 65.
No kidding.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
So they can't handle Okeechobee. Will get into the 50s for even
like
for a
said,
week.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that one night would have killed all.
All of a sudden, there'd be like thousands of floating, multicolored
seriously,
fish.
Dude. But interesting fishing down there because you got those, but you have so many other different types of fish. Like they're a bluegill in the Everglades or cichlids.
Okay.
And there are so many of them, dude. And I caught like a handful of these random species just fishing the jerkbait. And I'd be like, how do I hold this one? He's like, don't lip it.
There's like gnarly teeth hanging
can't
out.
Can't lip any of them, dude.
Yeah, the Everglades is an awesome ecosystem too. I've only spent a little bit of time there, but it's the drain, right? So you've got brackish water and you've just got a lot of cool stuff going on there. Florida's a state that I would love to spend more time in and interact with that. Because, I mean, in the Glades, there's parts where you can – did you see or catch any snook? Or did the guide talk about being near any snook?
He fishes for them, but not there. And I don't know if we were too far inland or – I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't in the conversation. But he does guide for them as well. But I think he does it
snook
elsewhere.
Are another cool-looking species. Have you guys ever seen – like that's another fish I'll eat a top water pretty good. And there's a one of my favorite fly fishing videos. The guy catches one that's a giant. It's probably – a double-digit quality fish, and the eat on his popper, on his fly rod, is, like, extraordinary. You know a fish is big when it, like, comes up and you just see, like, shoulders, right, as it rolls over your bait. That's, like, the quintessential in that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like, oh. They're
like a saltwater largemouth, aren't they?
Dude, they even have, like, a black lateral line.
Yeah.
They
no look
kidding.
Like a saltwater largemouth to some extent. Yeah. I wonder, you know, biologists could probably tell you where on the hierarchy of, you know, animals they deviate, but they're not too far away.
It's interesting. Comparison.
Yeah,
that's cool. I'd love to fish for him, but
yeah,
it was a fun place to fish, man. And
you know, there's no more tournaments this year at Florida Pri, right? You guys
actually
that?
There is one more on Toho. It's the heavy hitters, so we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Hopefully I make it the top 30.
You're inked in, so. Don't worry about penciling that one in, you'll be there.
Off to a decent start, but yeah. So hopefully that one. And
do you have one more to qualify for that, or what is it?
It's your biggest fish out of the first five tournaments. So they take, it's interesting.
That's
but
cool.
Yeah, it kind of really focuses on big ones. And you know, so my biggest fish was a 6'10 in the first one and a 6'3 in this one.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Yeah, it's a good start. Yep. And they average, I figured if I had 25 pounds, I'd probably make it by the end of it. So I've got three more good ones to catch. We're going to Fork next, which
ooh,
will be absolute.
Monsters.
Gong show.
Yep.
Big fish, dude. And then
good timing too, right?
Yeah. The best timing.
Yep.
Yeah. Like then we go to Raleigh, North Carolina. There'll be toads there, so there'll be more big ones. But
what's Raleigh? What lake is that?
Lake Jordan Falls. We fished there last year and all those big fish, if you remember that tournament, we fished Jordan the first day, Falls the next 2 days, and then the last day was on Sheeran Harris. But it's like The lakes have a couple of them have slot limits, and a couple of them are just a little too small to host like a 200 boat tournament. So that's why a lot of people haven't heard of them. But they have some absolute toads. I mean, some absolute toads. It's the best bass fishing that you've never heard of in the country.
Until now.
Yeah.
But those will be fun anyways. One last thing about Okeechobee that was kind of crazy. Did you guys see what happened to Russ Lane?
No.
In practice? Nick and I were talking about it just a little bit. You can check out his Instagram and see. But we're just talking about the danger of boating there. He's just practicing, just fishing along, having a nice, you know, Wednesday morning. And there's a bass boat coming at him on pad. Like, I don't know how fast they're going, if they're going 30 or 70, but they're coming at him.
On pad.
And he hits the point where he realizes, okay, they obviously are going to run into me. They don't see
They are not turning.
And sure enough, he runs to the back of the boat and then realizes, oh, God, they're coming to the back. So then he runs to the front of the boat. Bam! This thing just runs on pad right into his boat, dude. Right up onto his back deck. Hits his motor, hits his power pole. And it's like a 75-year-old man and his wife that were just out fishing, just driving along.
No kidding.
So obviously cuts his practice day a little short. They have to call the police. There's all kinds of damage. Thank God no one was seriously hurt.
Yeah, how did no one get thrown out of their boat?
I mean, amazing,
that's
dude.
That's amazing.
He said that in his article, they wrote a little article about it, and the dude showed no remorse that hit him. The dude sat there with him for 4, 6, or 8 hours or something just while they were doing the insurance stuff. And, yeah, they're looking at it right now. The guy just, like, never said sorry, and that's what bothered
no
Russ
kidding.
The most, you know?
Yeah, that's scary that a guy's out there that doesn't even. I mean, was Russ like in some weeds? Was he?
That I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, that's it would make more sense if he was. It doesn't make sense. The guy's running through
grass,
reed lines.
Yeah, true. That's scary, no matter what.
That's crazy, man.
And the guy was just like, whatever.
Yeah, no big deal. So they pieced. I mean, the service crews are awesome, man. They pieced his rig back
looking
together.
At that, yeah, it's amazing he fished, dude.
But
he's got a freaking hole.
They did. I mean, ultimately though, it's something residual. He made it like out the first morning of the tournament, goes out and starts fishing. Then something residual happened. And then it actually ended up costing him a lot in the tournament because it ended up breaking down later on. And it was definitely due to
accident
that.
Accident related.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Those must've been those people you talked about in the last podcast. Some of our snowbird friends that take U-turns onto divided highways.
That's
at
exactly
7 miles an
thinking.
Hour.
Yeah.
They also have a Triton bass boat apparently. And they drive, although he was going faster than he does on a divided highway. So he must feel more confident.
Have you guys ever
wind.
Been in that situation where you're like, I don't think this guy sees me. I got to turn away.
I actually was at Saguaro one day. The guy, and he came and cut in between.
Let me guess, he was on a surfing wake boat.
No, it was quite a few years ago. I was actually out there with my daughter, and we were fishing a point, I mean, a cast length from the shore, and the guy came between us and the shore.
Oh, geez.
In a no-wake zone, and was just, you know where Camper's Cove is?
Yeah.
We're sitting on that point right there, and he just, I don't even know how he
Holy
hit
cow.
Bottom. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. He was just out doing his thing. Weird.
Do you think he was just completely oblivious? He did it on purpose? Like,
I think he was oblivious. I think he was just flying along the shoreline and just thought his, who knows? I mean.
And then he'd get committed. Maybe he's like, well, I can't cut it left now. Yeah. Right. So I just got
to
stay
and it's
right.
Scary. I mean, not to be grim again, but like I sold a boat to a guy that got run over on Bartlett.
Oh, yeah. We know him very well. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Reggie, right?
Reggie Frieswick.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Same thing. That was a big cigarette boat.
And the guy reached down to do something.
He
and
claimed
just,
he was picking up coffee or something like that. Who knows what happened, really, you know?
Right.
And he went straight over his boat. Yeah, it was
terrible.
Well,
in a big cigarette boat, that's at speed, that's a force. So that in that story. That I haven't had anything like that, but when we were talking about this before we went on the air, the place where I've always felt really uncomfortable, and I fished predominantly as a non-boater, was Martinez. Dude. God, I hated running. I hate running the channel in Martinez, man. It's like the sandbars are always changing. So that right away, I feel like we're going to hit something and get ejected out of the boat. But then you come around those blind corners by bluffs, dude, where you know the channel is only like one boat wide, and here comes a freaking party barge or something, blind corner, cruise, and it's...
Because of the shallow water, everyone's in the same lane.
They have
same
to be in
lane.
The same 20-foot lane, dude, yep. And they're driving aggressively. It's like, oh, man, I don't know if I could do that now that I'm old and I've lost all of my vinegar. I think I'd be too scared.
I definitely couldn't ride with someone in that situation. Yeah. That would be nerve-wracking, but...
Crazy. How about you, Josh? Have you,
dude? I actually wrote down the same thing because that's part of the Colorado River, and yeah, it's you've really run the Arizona side. Like mm-hmm. No matter what the sandbars do, you can almost always hug the tules and be safe.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's the crazy.
So that's what
thing,
everyone else
dude.
Is
so
doing,
you
right?
Got, yeah, everyone's doing the same
going
thing.
Going north and, or south, they're yeah, all right there.
You know, you normally would stay to the right side. That's what you do. You stay to the
this
right, just like driving. Exactly.
This ain't Europe. This ain't England.
But yeah, you got some Europeans driving down
yeah,
the left
right.
side, man. And it's
judging
super
by how
dangerous.
Little clothing they're wearing, I think they are European,
or lack thereof.
Yeah.
No kidding. But yeah, and the other thing is, you could come out of a backwater. You know, and you're coming mm-hmm. out of a backwater right as someone's whipping by, and you could usually hear, but. I don't know, dude. That's a sketchy situation. And
it's a bummer because it's a cool fishery, but that alone is enough for me to be like, eh, I don't know how big of a hurry I'd be to go back there.
I hear you. There's not really a great way to avoid that either, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what
I
do
mean,
you do?
I don't know. The bottom line is I always go by the rule of if you feel uncomfortable, especially if you're on pad and you feel like someone's coming at you, you just come off pad.
Just take it
smart,
down.
Dude.
And, yeah.
Yeah. That's always been
that gives you a lot more
my
time.
Rule. Yeah, and... You know, when you're fishing on the trolling motor like Russ was in that situation, I don't know what you do, man.
Yeah, I don't know either. I was like, I might have jumped.
I might have jumped, too. I mean, that's like...
I mean,
you
how much safer
last
are you
going
to be? Yeah.
Did you say he went from the front to the back to the front?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And,
so then you really don't. I mean, you're just like...
Can you imagine seeing him? We can only laugh, dude, because everyone's okay.
Correct.
And he's my
it's
buddy.
The right yeah. context.
But can you imagine watching him dance on the boat? Dude, that's some jacked up stuff.
That's like 15 seconds of just terror, right? Like, where am I safer? Where am I safer? And then the realization that 21 and a half feet isn't enough to be safe, and then you're just, oh.
So Russ was a college baseball player, right?
Yep, and yep.
Minor leaguer also, or...
I don't know about that. I think maybe so. I'll have to ask him, but he's a pitcher.
We'll have to get him on the podcast one of these times.
Super cool guy. Yeah.
I sent you guys some photos of my son doing the urban.
Where's he at, dude?
I can't say.
Oh,
but he's been trashing them. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah. Look at those fish, dude.
Isn't that great?
Those are some tanks. Good for him.
Yeah, he's so excited about it.
That's all. Yeah, those are a class above the other urban fish that he had been catching previously.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You sent us a picture the other day. Of a typical college kid, he brings his laundry home, right?
He's got a good mom.
Doing his laundry and found a bag of lizards in his pocket.
Zoom lizards in his pocket and a lead weight.
A lead weight.
What do you call those knocker?
We know where he got that.
You know the knocker weights that Alex makes?
Oh, yeah. He had one of those.
What do you call
plug
those?
Knocker?
Plug knocker,
I got
gotcha.
You.
Yeah. He goes, that saved my butt so many times, Dad. So it's so funny.
Oh, man. And he probably had, you know, some tag ends, some Berkeley Trilene monofilament. He's probably throwing like 20-pound big game.
No,
can you imagine?
Don't hate on the big game, bro.
He is, actually.
He's your
stuff.
Son. He came from your loins. Yeah. Right?
Lead weights and big game.
Yeah,
huh?
That's what I'm saying, right? 1983 called and big bass. That's the only part of that that's redeeming.
1983 called and wants their fishing tackle
technology
back.
State of the art 35 years ago.
You got to go fishing, though, Nick.
Yeah, I know. Coming from the guy that has fished.
Yeah, everything comes back to that.
Yeah.
It's you can't throw stones when you live in a glass house.
I do not live in a glass house. It's plexiglass. It's clear, but it's not glass.
That's hilarious. Well, that's cool. Anyways, last thing I wanted to talk about.
Another cool story, right? Are you going to transition into that?
Yeah. This was really interesting. And I know this is a fishing podcast, but
we all have
talk
other
about
interests.
Our little hobbies. I'm a big hockey guy. And last week, there was something crazy that happened in the NHL. So every team, and I don't know if you saw
you
this,
see
Rob,
this, Rob.
Nick had seen a little
did,
bit about this, but
not.
Every
super
team
cool.
dresses two goalies. So, you know what I'm talking about. Every team dresses two goalies, and if both goalies were to get injured, which almost never happens, then there is in the building, there is one unbiased goalie who could play for either team. And they're not like professionals. They're like maybe played in college or maybe played in the minors or
men's
or whatever.
League.
Yeah, seriously. Just but dudes that know how to get, put the gear on and yep. stand in the net. And it's so crazy to think that
and they're
like,
just like neutral, just at the disposal
hopefully,
of a team who needs
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hilarious if
he just
like they were talking because this happened in Toronto and the Maple Leafs arena. Carolina Hurricanes are playing there, and both their goalies get hurt. So, dude, this guy could have been a diehard Leafs fan. You know, it's like I'm letting everything in tonight.
That's right.
But this is in the second period. Both their goalies are hurt, so they call this guy. His name's David Ayers, and they're like, "You're going in," you know. So he goes down and gets dressed, and like all the players on the team were like coming over to him. They're like, "Don't, dude, you know, just have
Don't
fun.
Screw this up.
No matter what happens, it's all good." Like that's a lot of pressure to be coming in there on national TV.
25,000 people in the arena.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and they were winning the game at that point by like 2 or 3 goals. So, but again, everyone's and he gives up the 2 softest goals instantly in like the first 2 minutes. Like gives up 2 easy goals, and the players on the team are like, "It's okay, dude." Like trying to keep him in it. And then he goes on to shut the other team down for the rest of the game. The other goalie on the other team gave up 3 goals in the time that he gave up 2.
So
and
he
ended
gets
up
the
winning.
W.
He got
he
the
got
win,
the W, dude.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That's incredible.
Amazing. His wife was like tweeting, like obviously all this stuff surfaces afterwards, right? And his wife is literally just sitting at home watching the game, like whatever, you know. He wasn't the actual Zamboni driver. He used to drive a Zamboni there, but like, he never gets in, right? He's never been in a game. So she's just like another night. And all of a sudden, like, she just like, "Oh my God, that's my husband."
Yeah. That's crazy. So cool. You know, that made me think of our boy, our Arizona Pride, Kurt Warner. Wasn't he freaking bagging groceries like 5 weeks before he won the Super Bowl?
Stocking shelves, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he went on to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of talent there. Hopefully David Ayers becomes a Hall of Fame goalie. Just
yeah,
like, people
yeah. He's,
sleeping
well,
on
he's,
him.
He's 42, so
he's
yeah.
got
he's
plenty of time.
Done. Past his yeah.
Hockey's a light-duty sport, though. You can make it into your 60s in hockey, right?
Oh, easily.
It's amazing. Everybody has a different path to
yeah.
to play at some high level. So
that's
kind of
cool.
That's
a good point, yeah. Anyways, it was cool. Kind of a highlight for him. And then, like, the Hurricanes, they ended up – making a bunch of like swag with his name
hey,
on
now
it.
He's got
like that.
Immortalized.
He's been on he's a bunch of TV shows.
Oh
and stuff,
yeah,
hasn't
he's
he?
Done like a tour. Yeah.
Good for
Justifiably
him.
Justifiably so, man. Like that's sweet. He
oh,
shows
yeah.
up and does his thing and gets
yeah. There
it
was
done.
Someone that was asking why they wouldn't have just regular players dress out as the goalie, right?
Yeah,
and I was wondering that.
Well,
that
the reason,
sense.
From what I heard, the reason was no, those guys don't even know how to put the gear on. At least this guy's
totally different
might be
sport.
Like a might be like a beer league goalie, right, or whatever, plays on a men's league, but he knows how to put it on. The
Are you talking
on.
About like physically dressing in
dressing
pads?
In the yes.
There's
Isn't
not
that
someone that could be like, "Hey, bro, I'll get that Velcro behind your knee."
That's,
they're not also not going to put a $5 million asset in a position like that to get hurt, dude, because
yeah.
they don't know
may,
how to.
That may be the
both,
main thing.
Both of those things, yep. But that's to Nick's point on yep. why they don't just throw one of those guys to the wolves, dude. Yep.
They must have somebody that sucks bad enough when you're at that point. They're like, "All right, like you've been left bench for 2 years. Like, it's your turn."
So, see, they should do that in baseball. Instead of putting a position player on the mound to pitch,
take
they,
someone from
point.
The stands.
They should have like the guy sitting in the chair getting the foul balls.
Dude, that little kid.
Yeah, can we get an inning out of you, buddy?
I love watching position players come in and pitch.
I get so excited when a game goes deep, you know, it's, or when they're getting routed. I think like when they get to like the 16th or 17th inning in one of those ridiculous games that never ends. What, 2-3 years ago in the playoffs, wasn't it the Red Sox and Dodgers? Didn't they have a game where it went like,
I don't remember.
The World Series, dude, we were watching it. It was like 21 innings. Remember that one game the Dodgers finally won? The Red Sox were just steamrolling that World Series. They had like, yeah, the left fielder pitching in the World Series. It's like,
that's
this
sick.
Is why sports are awesome.
Seriously.
Every one of those dudes pitched as a kid probably.
Right.
Though.
You're right.
Everyone
best
starts
player
out
on their
there.
Team. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So. Right on.
Cool stuff, man.
Yep. We got some more good episodes coming up, but if you guys don't have anything else, I think we're going to wrap this one up.
Yeah, I think just as always, man, we appreciate the our listeners are great, man. I run some of the social media with Josh, and we're getting a lot of response and messages from people, and we just can't tell you how much we appreciate that. It's just fun. Like it's Josh, you probably know a few of these people personally. I didn't, and I feel like some friendships are blossoming
Heck
out
yeah,
of this,
man.
And it's just cool, man. Like it's fun when you can come together, you know, with something that we all love and enjoy. And so keep it up. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, they mean a lot, guys. Really, really do. Awesome. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks again for listening, guys. We always appreciate the ratings, reviews, and most importantly, the shares. If there's something you want to hear us talk about, make sure you hit us up on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll talk to y'all next week. Thanks.